Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Happy Tuesday. Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, joins us. Dave, how's the start to the week gone for you? Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Excellent. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Great.
Good, yeah. Right. Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful day.
All right. So September always seems to be like one of these in-between months for the markets, right? You got back to school. People are thinking about tax planning and end of year already. So if you could just describe the current economic landscape as a weather forecast as we get into fall here. What's it
yeah,
like
great.
For investors?
Yeah, that's funny. So, you know, we woke up this morning and it was 56, but it could be as high as 80. So that's a huge outcome, right, of what could happen. And that's kind of where we're at. If you think about it, you know, it's mild today, but there's, if it's got to be a weather forecast, you got cooling winds coming out of the north, right? So this cold front is headed our way. And, you know, if it does cool, does it cause a thunderstorm, right? How's that for a weather forecast? And the reason why I say all of that is because, as we know, inflation has cooled, but unemployment is going up. And that is a cause for concern for a lot of economists, because we were as low as 3.4, and that is a low unemployment number, but has risen to 4.2, and some economists believe that it could go even higher, and that is the cause for concern.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about this offline via email. Wall Street Journal had this really interesting piece about the state of the Americans' wallets today. You know, what's in our wallet, how much our bank balances are, what our regular car payments are. Was there anything in that was really surprising or alarming to you?
Well, you know, when you look at numbers can be deceiving, because the way I look at it is we have had a recovery. And, you know, people talk about what kind of recovery is it. Is it a U-shaped or is it a V-shaped? I consider this a K-shaped recovery. Hmm. What I mean by that, imagine the letter K. So you've got a line that goes up and a line that goes down. And I think that's what we've seen as a recovery. So we've seen those who are on the lower side of the income scale, they haven't had the same recovery to those who have had assets. So when interest rates are low, asset prices go up. And so obviously the stock market has gone up, real estate prices have gone up, but you have had to have those assets to participate in that. And if you didn't have those assets, you certainly feel the pain of the economic downturn that we've seen. And I think, you know, part of this is going to be the debate that we're going to see. But that is the reason why I saw it. When I looked at those numbers and I read that article you sent me, Jeff, you know, it's hard to concur with that, because they took everybody and they put them in a big bucket and said, in general, things have gotten better.
Right.
But they're not better for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Averages and medians can you know, they can skew a little bit. The average credit card debt for those who carry a balance is up to $6,200 in the first quarter of this year, way more than 2019, too. And we've talked about that for several weeks. So what impact, you mentioned the debate briefly, Dave, you know, what impact could tonight's debate have on the markets? What do you expect to hear about the economy from both candidates? And, you know, maybe we can do this when we come back, but I'd love to hear, like, the Dave Spano one money-related question that you would ask of each candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, so you cut me off if we have to go to break, but there's so much that goes into that question, right? So first of all, you know, you think about what has happened over the last, you know, 35, 40 days, from, you know, an assassination attempt to the removal of the Democratic candidate to, I mean, there's just so much that has gone into that. So it is high stakes, and the reason why I point those things out is the market has taken this in stride. You look at, other than that blip that we had over the last couple of weeks, the VIX, which is a measure of volatility, has been pretty calm. And so it has taken it in stride. However, if, for example, Vice President Harris hits it out of the park tonight, then does that suggest that we will have much higher taxes? Because that's, you know, part of her platform. And when you have much higher taxes, and that is what's proposed, not only higher corporate taxes, higher capital gains taxes, you know, estate taxes, you know, international, all of these things will have an effect on the profitability of individual companies, especially publicly traded companies. So there'd have to be an adjustment down if she would win, and of course the Democrats would carry Congress as well, because you need both of those pieces. So those are the things that are of concern. It's what the market's going to be looking at, because they have to put in all of these policy decisions, both inflation, economics, tax policy. The markets do look at that, but I am really surprised that there has been really no movement in the VIX, which is a measure of fear, over the last 60 days. We have not seen that.
All right. Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management, joins us. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Does a typical voter understand the term soft landing and what it means for the economy? We'll talk about that and much more when we come back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. So, Dave, if you had the opportunity to ask one money-related question to each candidate at tonight's debate, what would that be?
Yeah, for sure it would be something that would be important to our clients, and that would be, where do you stand on taxes? Obviously, Trump is talking about lowering taxes, or at least renewing the tax act that is in place, versus Vice President Harris, who's talking about significant tax increases. So I do think that is an important piece, and I think those who are around here should really pay attention to that, because, you know, people vote their checkbook as much as they do everything else, and the economy and inflation should be top of that. And so local voters, think of this, folks. It's a 50-50 country, right? And in 2016, the difference in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin was just 77,000 votes. And you think about 330 million Americans, it's a very, very small number. In 2020, it was even smaller. It was just 65,000 votes. And so those folks in Wisconsin have to look at it through the prism of what is good for you, what is good for your pocketbook, and do higher taxes and more investment mean better scenarios for you as a Wisconsinite or not? You know, manufacturing has been in a recessionary environment for 20 months. Wisconsin is a manufacturing environment, and that's the reason why we have to look at that and say, what is going to be better for my checkbook and for your checkbook? And as a voter, that's what people have to look at. So I think tax, regulatory, and tariffs are all part of the economic questions that I would ask.
Yeah, great. And as we power through the political season, do you think the typical voter understands soft landing? You don't really hear the term hard landing, because that's bad. That's the recession. But mm-hmm. Do you think the typical voter understands that and where we're at with monetary policy?
No, I think in general people know that a hard landing is a recession. I think it's almost a misnomer, right? A soft landing versus a hard landing. It is really a recession or not a recession. I mean, that's really the question. And I think if it was reframed that way, I think people would understand that. But if you think about the fact that if we do have a recession, what happens? I mean, there is a panic that happens because the markets adjust sometimes 20-25% down. People could lose their jobs. I mean, there is economic impact for certain if we have a recession. So the Fed, right, the monetary policy that you're talking about, they've kept rates high. Now they're going they're going to lower them on September 18th. It's just a matter of, is it 25 basis points or 0.25%, or will it be 50 basis points? And that conversation's happening. The fact that 50 basis points, the likelihood of that has gone up. It's still not the base case. It has gone up. And so folks are going to have to say, is the economy slowing more than we think? And does the Fed have to do more cuts? Because the rest of the world is doing it. You know, the ECB is on their second cut. Canada is on their second cut. So generally, we lead that. We're behind on this policy right now. So, you know, nobody wants a recession. So the Fed should get aggressive. They're at 5.5 on the upper end. the Treasury markets is way below that, 3.5. So they have a lot of cuts to do over the perhaps next 2 years.
There definitely doesn't seem to be a recession in the iPhone market. Yesterday, yeah. Apple released details on its new iPhone 16 starting at $799. The larger size is going to be $899, Pro model $999. How do the Apple events impact and move markets in the economy and even our mindsets with money, right?
Right. Yeah. You know, years ago, if it was good for General Electric or General Motors, it was good for the economy. I think if it's good for Apple, it's generally good for our economy as a whole. And so this new phone, which is getting rolled out, is cool. I mean, there's crazy things on there like biometrics. You know, this could sense if you're having a grabber or not, or you can go to an airport as you do with the TSA, and it'll tell you if it'll take your picture and line you up. But yeah, AI is going to be part of that. Not quite yet, but it's going to be AI compatible. The conversation you're going to hear, though, is does their applications disintermediate a number of other applications and that are on the phone. So yeah. That'll be an interesting conversation. But
lots of ways for Apple to further monetize it, for sure.
Yeah.